This is Wade Rathke with the Chief Organizer Report on politicians silencing advocates and organizations. There is no doubt by anybody, anywhere, that the fight for 15 and in general the fight for living wages has been led by unions and community organizations in every country where the campaign has been fought. The United States, United Kingdom, and certainly Canada. No matter the tactics and strategy, the targets have been moving corporations and public bodies and elected politicians to sign on and support the workers' demands for living wages. As we have discussed, some public bodies, including city councils in Los Angeles, Seattle, and New York in the United States, as well as particularly Vancouver and Toronto in Canada, and even the national government in the United Kingdom, have moved substantially on these issues after sufficient organizational and popular pressure. This is how it should be. This is the work we do. Ostensibly, this is how countries subscribing to some level of democratic norms should work. Well, think again, my friends, not in the age of state and corporate partnerships, in the age of neoliberalism. The Acorn office in British Columbia received a message marked urgent from the British Columbia Federation of Labor because we are an active member, of course, of the minimum wage working group. The message was pleading that all Fight for 15 activities would have to be suspended until the mid-October federal elections, a period of almost 3 months since Prime Minister Harper had dropped the writ or called for the election unusually early in order to trigger the expenditure freezes for the election, favoring the incumbent party, of course. Normally for Acorn, the time to increase the pressure on our issues is during election periods when politicians and parties are most vulnerable and our leverage is at the highest. So what the frick? I'll let the message speak for itself. To minimum wage working group. As you know, Prime Minister Harper has called the election earlier than expected. Additionally, new rules have come into place regarding the participation of third parties during an election. As a result of these changes, the BC Federation of Labor is very limited in how it may participate during the writ period, specifically related to advertising. Due to the similarity of our Fight for 15 campaign to the federal NDP's platform promise of a $15 per hour federal minimum wage, any traditional or online paid advertising that we engage in to support the campaign may be considered election advertising under the Elections Act. This in itself wouldn't present a problem. However, the BC Fed and all other federations of labor and labor councils are considered by Elections Canada to be one entity under the Canadian Labor Congress. Therefore, we are not permitted to register separately as a third party. This means we are caught in the same spending cap as the CLC. There is no additional room within that cap. Due to these restrictions, we must limit our Fight for 15 campaign activities to those activities that are not considered to be election advertising. This means we are limited to online engagement without placement cost and direct communication with our members. We can also submit letters to the editor and op-eds. We are not permitted to petition, leaflet, hand out buttons, distribute t-shirts, or participate in any activity that advertises the issue to the public until after the election period. That means we will need to postpone many of our upcoming activities until after the election in October. We are very disappointed by this news and will be developing a new strategy to mobilize the campaign in an online capacity that complies with the legislation. We are asking you to not distribute any materials, including petitions, buttons, signs, or leaflets that were produced by the BC Fed during the campaign period. You, of course, may use your own materials, but please be aware of the requirement to register as a third-party advertiser should you incur more than $500 in cost. You get it? One of the parties, the National Democratic Party, had succumbed to the pressure and made $15 a part of their platform. Therefore, continuing to organize, advocate, demonstrate, and agitate for $15 suddenly was reclassified as not only electioneering, but advertising rather than action. A similar perversity was recently part of the rules in the United Kingdom federal elections with about the same limitations, except £5,000 per group rather than $5,000 Canadian. Not much doubt that the Canadian Conservative Party might have gotten the idea from the UK Conservative Party, eh? Of course, in the United States, where anything about money in elections is dysfunctional, the one effort by the IRS to rein in 501c4 social welfare organizations on their political activity, despite the fact that the 501c4 status curtails such activity, was immediately derailed by Congress and then postponed and pulled by the IRS until after the 2016 election, despite the fact that C4s, as social welfare front groups and super PACs, are already flooding campaigns with money, taking over their management and flaunting every known rule. but the perversity of organizations being prevented from advocating for change so that politicians can dupe voters into whatever is past the pale. If there were ever rules that were made to be ignored, which is to say broken, here is a prime example. When government attempts to silence people, it's time to roar. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.